for it, says epidemiologist Salim Abdul-Karim, the director of the Center for the AIDS Program of Research in South Africa in Durban. In the 3 years, 3 months, and 5 days that have passed since the PHEIC was first established, countries reported 7 million deaths to the WHO. Estimates from the WHO and others as to the pandemic's true death toll are 2 to 3 times higher. There are no hard and fast rules to determine when a PHEIC is over, says Karim, adding, "We are still very much in a pandemic. We are just in a different stage in which we are no longer seeing large numbers of deaths and pressure on hospitals." He added, "For Karim, the end of PHEIC is a recognition that SARS-CoV-2 will be around for a long time. But although he says the decision was pragmatic and reasonable, he worries that it will mean in terms of resources and availability of diagnostic tests, vaccination and treatment." Epidemiologist Jennifer Nutso, the director of the Pandemic Center at the Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, says it is unclear whether this decision will have much practical impact, given that many countries have already been relaxing their measures to combat COVID-19. Nutso says political attention to the pandemic was lost long before the decision, unfortunately. Even while COVID remains a top cause of death, governments have decided to put their energies elsewhere. Nutso says it's important to distinguish between the end of the PHEIC and the decision by individual countries to end their public health emergencies. The United States, for example, announced that its COVID-19 health emergency will end on May 11th. That means U.S. residents will lose access to free COVID-19 testing, vaccines, and treatment. Karim says, so it will worsen the inequity in the access to diagnostics, treatments, and then that's my concern. In his statement, Tedros said he also decided to establish a review committee to develop long-term recommendations for countries on how to manage COVID-19 going forward. The WHO published an updated version of their Strategic Preparedness and Response Plan for COVID-19, outlining actions that countries should take in the next 2 years. Nutso says what is most urgent now is to make sure that countries don't turn back on trying to learn the lessons of COVID and bolster their preparedness for future pandemics. In the meantime, according to Science, Greg Gonzalez, a public health expert at the Yale School of Public Health, says he's less concerned about what to call the pandemic than what is done to address it. Regardless of whether it is called a PHEIC, COVID-19 continues to cause death and suffering across the globe, he says, adding, yet almost everywhere we've declared mission accomplished and we have no appetite for doing anything more to fight this disease. Gonzalez says we are willing to bake in a huge amount of morbidity and mortality to get back to normal, and it doesn't bode well for facing our future.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion, Brother Ali Alevian and Brother Suhail Sarani. Brother Suhail, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me here.
So Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, dedicated this new series of the program Viewpoints in the whole month of Ramadan to the topic which is rarely discussed, we can say, in the academic fields and also Islamic fields, and that is the book Nahjul Balagha and the significance of this book as tackled by the leader of Iran on different occasions and his different speeches. The beautiful point about Nahjul Balagha, one of the greatest part, is the letter that he wrote to Malik al-Ashtar, which was going to be sent as the commander, or the, we can say, governor of Egypt on that time. This letter has been referred to as the text in which we can find today's, we can say, human rights movement. You know, the thing that today the people are looking all across the world, and this is not the words of the Shias or the Muslims, but non-Muslim has said this about the Imam Ali alayhi salam's words and sayings, especially in that letter, okay? Because we have so many human rights movements, so many human rights organizations nowadays, they are looking for a charter for their works and guidelines. I've seen different codes and different, we can say, books have written on this specific letter by non-Muslims. For example, George Jordak has wrote,
and
we can say this,
it's beautiful
about
that he himself actually warns us in Nahj Balagha and tells us that beware, that do not let Islam to be understood and to be actually to be implemented by others than Muslims. But we see that this Christian brother and this scholar, this
George Jordak, this Christian scholar,
he confesses that he read Nahj Balagha more than 200 times.
Yes.
You see, and we as the follower of Imam, or let's say as Muslims, how many times have we ever read this book and actually found this affection towards Nahj Balagha? And I think even the nature of Nahj Balagha is in a way that in case you start reading it, you will find the beauty of it and you cannot detach from it very easily.
That's right.
I wish that Muslims
got back to
this great treasury that they have at hand and they don't know the value of it.
Okay, Brother Suhail, what's your opinion on this part, brother, that Nahjul Balagha itself, we can say, is not that much given significance in today's world among the Muslims themselves? And most of the Muslims all across the world, we can say on different schools of thought, are not even familiar with this book, we can say on the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Is it so?
Very true, and sadly, it's very pity. It's a precious gem, as one of the precious gems, as Brother Ali mentioned. And, you know, when you think about it, it's like, suppose you have a rehbar or the, you know, leader of Muslim Ummah coming to your city, would you not go for listening to his speech? Of course, you will rush for that. Now, we are talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, and then we are sure that these are the speeches of Imam Ali himself, right? So, how much attention should we have towards this? And how much importance should we give to these speeches of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the letters and, you know, the sayings of him? So, but it's all about, you know, as brother mentioned, it's like a nuskhe or prescription from the doctor, which is lying without, you know, unfolding the even paper. Like, we are not even unfolding the paper to see what's inside, unfortunately. But the emphasis has been is being put by the ulama, by the scholar. And inshallah, as leader mentions, we should, you know, at first step, even he mentioned that, you know, somebody without understanding Nahjul Balagha, you know, if you can claim that, you know, I understand Quran, it's not that true, the true claim, because Nahjul Balagha in one interpretation of him is Nahjul Balagha is nothing but the sequence of Quran, or you know, the tali of Quran is the same in Farsi, you know, the following of Quran. So that's how important it is, and we should definitely pay more attention to it.
That's all right. And the true position of this book, you know, the case of interpretation and the case of commentators and interpreters of the Nahjul Balagha are really important, because, you know, when you look at the text of Nahjul Balagha, some parts are really hard to understand. I mean, because the wording, especially on the sermons, on some of the sermons, needs interpretation itself.
Definitely.
It is very true that we can say these words have been said by a person who has tackled these issues from a very high position regarding spirituality. So it knows its own interpretations, its own courses on the universities and the houses. And this is, we can say, what they have done about great scholars and great books in the Western world. They have held different courses of universities and the houses on a specific, we can say, scientist or book, and discussed it. There are some specific people and scholars in the world whose only interest are working on a specific person or scientist or a scholar during the history of the Western philosophy, for example. But what we did about Nahjul Balagha, did we do this exactly? There are some people who have wrote sharh on that, or there are some organizations on that. But in order to make it more applicable in the daily lives of the people, I think the role of the interpreters and the scholars are important here. Isn't it, Brother Ali?
We have not worked a lot on this precious book, and we have not actually started decoding the importance of this book. The book, which is with us now, actually, as I said, it was left obsolete in the course of history, and it was not used as it was supposed to do. As for the interpretation of it, it's interesting to know that one of the important interpretations and commentaries on Nahjul Balagha has been done by a Sunni brother, Ibn Abil Hadid, who was a great Sunni scholar. Alhamdulillah, recently, there have been actually some new works on Nahjul Balagha and its interpretation. But it's really sad to say that they are not to the level that it deserves to be. So that's why it has not been worked on, though it has variety of topics and subjects in it, and that it can actually cover different areas and arenas that are of need of today's human life. It has issues, it has actually topics about the lifestyle of the human being, what is actually a sort of affliction of human being in our today's life, that they are in need of knowing how to live. These are the points that are needed. And at the same, they are said, these things, these words, these sermons, these wasings have been said by a leader, a person who was in the leadership of the Islamic society, and at least he was a potential, if he was not superficially in power, but he was actually a person who had the claim of being a leader of the Islamic Ummah and has been appointed by the Prophet of Islam. Anyhow, at least some years of his holy life, he was in the position of the leadership of the Islamic society. So when we say that he had a set of comprehensive subjects presented to us, and it's our time to get benefit and to get you and collect the knowledge that we need from this precious book. We see in this book topics about moralities, about our world, our dunya, and also our hereafter. Whatever we need to know as a human being in this life, whatever we have read or recited in Quran, is actually complemented by Nahjul Balagha.
That's all right. They say it is a compendium to the Holy Quran. We have these great books. Also, Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah is really missed, you know, in the world.
In comparison to Sahif al-Sajjadiyah, yeah. Sahif al-Sajjadiyah, actually the mission of actually that book was mm-hmm. different, because it was mostly around the dua, and yes. through dua, Imam tried to teach people yes. whatever he wanted. But he see clearly in every science, in every actually branch of knowledge, when you want, Imam actually enters professionally and teaches you very directly, because Imam did not have those cautious that actually Imam Sajjad had at his time. That's he right. was the leader, and Imam okay. Sajjad unfortunately did not have this opportunity to be openly talking to people and disclosely talk to people. But Imam right. Alhamdulillah had this chance to say whatever he wanted. Okay,
that's right. Thank you much, Brother Ali. Brother Sohail, what's your final remarks on this?
Well, Sahif al-Sajjadiyah, I would like to say, even as Brother mentioned, because of the time of Imam Sajjad alayhi wasalam, mm-hmm. it makes it different than Nahjul Balagha. Mm-hmm. And all in all, the time of Imam Ali was actually the, you can say, is the peak time of Islamic glory, right? And one of the peakest time of Islamic glory, and Imam Ali was as the first person of the Islamic government during that time. He was the leader, and most of the sermons and most of the letters were given by him during that time. So he had an encompassing view over all the affairs of human society, starting from individual life to the social life, and you know, from various dimensions. So that's one thing that makes it Nahjul Balagha different than any other book.
That's right.
But still, Imam Khamenei mentions is in one of his speeches that if you get tawfiq, you know, if you get that inner inspiration from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, then after doing some research and research work on Nahjul Balagha and learning from that, you can start with Sahif al-Sajjadiyah as well.
That's right.
Because that's another book mm-hmm. which is not being given that importance which is due
that's right.
for it.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Sohail and Brother Ali Alavian, for your presence in the program Viewpoints, which was on the topic Nahjul Balagha, as discussed by the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Dear listeners, visit our website at parstudio.com/Call of Islam Radio. Also our YouTube channel, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Rama
Food for Thought.
Salam, dear listeners, and let us start the day with a thought-provoking statement from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, regarding violence and oppression. Violence against the servants of Allah is the worst provision for the hereafter.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the human traits, things that makes us human. And specifically, we are looking at the bad ones, because if we can avoid these bad ones, we can become good human beings. One of these traits that we seem to have, well, actually not seem to have, that we actually do have, is, as the Quran refers to it, ittiba'ul hawa. Following our desires, following our needs and our wants. And there is nothing more devastating than following our needs and desires, even if it's against the law, or even if it means another person will be harmed in between. That's how bad we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Al-A'raf, verse 175 and 176, he says, وَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتَنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. Give them the example of the person who we have given him our ayat. And this is, Allah is talking about Bal'am bin Ba'ura, the man who was at the time of Musa alayhi salam. And he says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا. I skipped the verse. وَلَكَنَّا أَخْذَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَهُ. But this person, he follows his own desires. So we kind of kept him on earth. And then Allah gives example of him. He says, فَمَثَلَهُ كَمَثَلُ الْكَلْبِ. His example is that of a dog. How so? إِن تَحْمَلْ عَلَيْهِ الْهَذْ. If you leave the dog alone, he will be still out of breath. If you chase the dog, and he's still out of breath. So Allah says this is a person who follows his hawa. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. بَلَمْ بِنْ بَعُورَ. Allah says, أَتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ آيَاتَنَا. We have given him our signs, our knowledge. And the hadith says he had الْإِسْمُ الْأَعْظَمُ, the greatest name of Allah, which he can flip the universe like a coin, if you wanted to, with that name. But out of greed, out of jealousy, out of pride. When Musa alayhi salam became a prophet, he said, how does that work? I'm a good guy. Allah should have made me the prophet, not Musa. And then he wanted to do dua against Musa alayhi salam. That's the level he got to. So Allah says, فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا, we took everything from him. And then he went down. So because of ittiba'u al-hawa, following one's desires, it could put you in a place where you don't want to be. It will put you in a place where you would find yourself in the, at least the darknesses of this world and the deepest holes in the hereafter, which God forbid nor me or you want to even consider. So, and this concept of tuba al-hawa, mind you, is a very lengthy topic in ilm al-akhlaq, when we talk about the science of morals or ethics or morality. It's one of the biggest topics, and sometimes it's usually it's the first thing that's discussed. Because tuba al-hawa, Allah says, مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى, there are those who take their desires and their needs as their lords, as their gods, something they would worship. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, حُبُّكَ لِلشَّيْءِ يُعْمِي وَيُصِمْ. He says, your love for something, it will make you deaf and blind, or blind and deaf. And this hadith cannot be more accurate. I mean, even if you don't tell me the chain of narrators, I would accept it 100%. Why? Because this is something that we do. When we fall in love with something, it doesn't matter how much people advise us that this thing is bad and it is not good for us, we will never listen. Because our feelings, our hawa, our desire is connected to it. You know, sometimes a person falls in love with a woman and he wants to marry her. When everyone around him, they tell him, this woman is a bad woman. She does not make a good wife. You should not approach her for reasons 1, 2, 3, 4. But he says, no, you're wrong. And he would go ahead and he would marry that woman. And then after a while, he realizes that he made a mistake. So this hub, this love, the Prophet says, made him blind. And each one of us, without exception, each one of us loves something at the end of the day. We either love our partners, we love our children, we love our cars, our houses, our money, even my health and my body, I could fall in love with. I and you, we love things. And if we don't control that love, which is that related to the nafs, the self and its desires, it can control me, it can consume me, I can be enslaved to it. And then once a person becomes occupied and becomes imprisoned with his desires and his wants and needs and his hawa, then he becomes as good as a blind and deaf. He would not hear anymore and not see anymore. Even if he sees the faults of the person that he loves in front of him, he would still not accept the fact that they are wrong and not good for him. So we have to be very careful. A hadith from Amir al-Mu'min salamullah alayhi says, إِنَّكَ إِنْ أَطَعْتَ هَوَاكَ, if you follow your desires, أَصَمَّكَ, it will make you deaf. That's the first thing. If you become a servant to your desires, وَأَعْمَاكَ, and made you blind. وَأَفْسَدَ مُنْقَلَبَيْكَ. And this is an add-on from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَأَرْضَكَ. So it will make you blind, it will make you deaf, and it will corrupt your heart. It will corrupt you in this world. مُنْقَلَبَيْكَ means this world and in the hereafter. So in this world, a person, you know, he would lose, he would fall into, he chases something that he loves and he will never get it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has this thing where sometimes he just wants to test us. And you can try as much as you want, but you won't get it. So you lose in this world. And in the hereafter, obviously, there's punishment. So we have to be very careful. وَأَرْضَكَ, it would be your demise, it would be the end of you. In this world will be the end of you. And also in the hereafter. So we have to be very careful when it comes to the things that we need, the things that we love, to be very careful not to be consumed by it. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasul wa ali nabi al-azim.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
He was 46 years old, father of a 3-year-old girl, an engineer by career, and a former handball star. On April 28th, he had started an ordinary day as usual. At dusk, on the way home, something happened that upset his daily routine. He never arrived home to hug and kiss his little girl before bed, but instead became a household name across the country overnight. May 3rd, 2023. Tens of thousands of Iranians from all walks of life have taken part in the funeral ceremony of Hamid Reza Aldaghi to say farewell to their national hero in the northeastern city of Sabzavar. Known as the Martyr of Courage, Hamid Reza was laid to rest among other martyrs in the city cemetery. Hamid Reza grabbed the headlines as a national hero after a viral CCTV video showed him courageously defending two girls against a couple of knife-wielding thugs in Sabzavar. He was stabbed 7 times in the back and chest while trying to rescue the defenseless girls. He later succumbed to knife wounds in hospital. His death has once again rekindled the issue of ghairat, a Farsi word deeply rooted in Iranian culture. Whereas ghairat has stereotypically manifested itself in the mainstream media in the form of a jealous husband, it represents a moral value that takes courage and gallantry. A man who throws caution to the wind to save the lives of others in danger, especially if they are women, is described in Iran as a man who has ghairat. In one sense, ghairat is similar to the medieval knight's code of honor. In English culture, Walter Raleigh is a perfect example of chivalry, for what he did for the sovereign's comfort. According to a famous legend, he once laid his plush cloak over a mud puddle so that Queen Elizabeth's feet would not be dirtied.
A puddle in the way, Majesty.
A puddle?
But what catapults Hamid Reza al-Daghi above all these figures is that he sacrificed not his clothing, but his life. And it was not for his sovereign's comfort, which would have brought him wealth and fame, as was in the case of Sir Walter Raleigh, but it was for the comfort of two defenseless girls. To be chivalrous implies those principles that respect the worth and the dignity of others, that compel us to take responsibility for the care and safety of others as we remain inextricably linked in this complex web of life. Hamid Reza's ultimate sacrifice was widely respected and reflected online. His name is now trending in Twitter in Iran as the martyr of courage. During the imposed war on Iran by the Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, hundreds of thousands of Iranians went to the front line voluntarily. Many of them, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, said their aim was to protect their national and family honor. When the city of Khorramshahr was under the boots of Ba'ath's troops, three Iranian men lost their lives before their comrades managed to bring down the body of an Iranian girl the Iraqis had put on a wooden pole. This level of sacrifice, especially when it comes to the honor of girls and women, has been handed down from generation to generation. At a time when individualism is in full swing and many are preoccupied with their personal interests, the story of Hamid Reza is a wake-up call for social values and commitments. His martyrdom has once again unified Iranian society around values rooted in centuries-old history and culture. Hamid Reza al-Daghi was not a man in uniform, yet his name will conjure up images of gallantry and chivalry for years and decades to come.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which in that we're going to speak about the art of listening. So be with us.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Tuesday, is the 18th of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Urdubehisht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. By the way, you're listening this episode of today's special from Iran, and this is IRIB English Radio, and this is the Holy Quran, verses 9-11 of chapter Al-Mulk.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Qalu bala qad ja'ana nadhirun fakadhabna wa qulna ma nazzala Allahu min shay'in in antum illa fi dalalin kabir.
They will say, yes, a warner had come to us, but we denied and said, Allah has not sent down anything. You are not but in great error.
وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
And they will say, if only we had been listening or reasoning, we would not be among the companions of the blaze.
فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
And they will admit their sin, so it is alienation for the companions of the blaze.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
These Quranic verses treat of the dire fate of the people of the hell as well as the main cause of their misfortune, saying that Allah Almighty had provided them with hearing, intelligence, and intellect on the one hand, and His messengers with clear proofs on the other. Thus they had the opportunity to tread on the path to happiness. However, when man who has the hearing, vision, and intellect, but fails to perceive and think, may not be affected by all the messengers and divine scriptures.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to His supremacy. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
On the continuation of our discussion, the art of listening, we reach to this part. The art of listening is not just about hearing what the speaker says in a conversation. It's about understanding what they're saying and responding in a way that makes them feel heard. It's easy to get lost in your own thoughts while chatting with someone, but focusing on what they're saying is critical to developing rapport. Listening intently to another person's words shows you care about what they have to say rather than trying to think ahead or plan out your response.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The importance of listening to the Holy Quran and the miracle of listening. We can practice this etiquette of listening silently to the Quran and allowing its message to enter the heart. Perhaps we will be of those who are fortunate enough to receive God's mercy. Dear brothers and sisters, we all know that Quran was brought down on the Holy Prophet ﷺ by Allah, and the Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet in small parts and not at once. The intention and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it was to make the Holy Prophet preach the teachings of Islam in small portions so that the believers and non-believers alike can understand and absorb it easily. The believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when listened to the verses recited by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their faith in Allah and the Prophet Muhammad became stronger, and through which they became good and pure Muslims in every sense. As a Muslim, while reading and listening to the Holy Quran, listening to the Holy Quran will not only help us understand the true essence of Islam, but will also make us good human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "And when they hear what has been revealed to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of what they have recognized of the truth. They say, 'Our Lord, we have believed, so register us among the witnesses.'"
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special, and on the continuation of this episode, essential qualities that make excellent listeners. One of the essential qualities is asking the right questions. Asking the right question shows you listen carefully to what people are saying, whether during conversation or meetings at work. The art of listening goes beyond hearing what someone else is saying. It requires you to be engaged in conversations. It's important not to jump in too quickly with suggestions for how things could be done differently. Asking questions makes the other person feel like an equal part of the discussion rather than just someone who knows less than you do. This will help you establish a stronger connection and make it easier to get along with people. In this part, etiquettes in our relationship with the Holy Quran. Dear listeners, reciting the Quran with a beautiful voice adds to the beauty of the Quran itself. The mentioned is not without any background of the Holy Quran itself. We have verse 1 of Surah Fatir, chapter 35 of the Holy Quran, where Almighty Allah says, "All praise is due to Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth, the maker of the angels, the creator of the angels, messengers flying on wings, 2 and 3 and 4, it increases in creation what he pleases. Surely Allah has power over all things." Yes. That was chapter 35 of the Holy Quran, verse 1. Under the explanation of this verse, we find the hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, where he says that we should beautify the Quran with our beautiful voices, because a beautiful voice and tune gives the Quran more beauty. Rasulullah Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, then emphasized the excerpt from this verse, which highlights that Almighty Allah increases what he has created as a result of this beautiful recitation. What this means is that when someone recites the Holy Quran through his or her beautiful voice, then indirectly through this beautiful voice, which is a gift from Allah Almighty, to this person, we find that he increases what he has created through this beautiful recitation.
The people of Nuh, they put their وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَخْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. They put their fingers into their ears so they don't hear what I say. They don't give themselves a chance. Quraysh did not allow their children to go to Masjid al-Haram to listen to the Prophet. They would forbid them. Because he's a sorcerer, sahir. Therefore, if you go and listen to him, you're going to be lost. They didn't allow them. And then they say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. Do not even listen to the Quran. Don't even listen. Don't begin the first step. Because once you listen, you are gone. We can't control you anymore. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Do not even listen to this book. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ, and speak dismissively of this book. Speak dismissively of this book. Don't listen to it. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ, when the Quran is read, raise your voice so it overcomes the voice of the Quran so you don't listen. Whereas God says in the Quran, فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا. Try to hear what is said, وَأَنصِتُوا, and then pay attention. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Maybe you receive the mercy of God.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over. So inshallah, we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.